Hello, and welcome back to Yalla, the podcast of Jewish students brought to you by UJS. I'm Atti, the UJS Sabbatical Officer for Digital Engagement, Apprenticeships and Careers.
I'm Macy, I'm the president of the Bath Spa University JSOC.
And today we are delighted to be joined here by Emma from Jamie. Emma, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about the work you do and the work that Jamie does?
Hi everyone, I'm Emma. As you've heard, I work for Jamie. I work in our education team. So my main role is providing training in a variety of settings across the community, whether that be kind of professionals, parents in a synagogue community, helping people learn more about their own mental health and how to support others alongside a variety of other topics they might want training on. The larger picture of Jamie is that we are a charity in the Jewish community providing one-to-one mental health support. So we provide professional, person-centered treatment and support for both young people and adults with mental health needs, as well as their families and carers. And then alongside this, our education and training, along with marketing, fundraising, etc., hope to equip people with the skills and knowledge to be resilient, inclusive, and better able to support those who may be experiencing mental illness and distress, alongside increasing knowledge, awareness, reducing stigma, and ultimately aiming to build mutually supportive relationships across our community.
Amazing. And we're obviously recording this podcast for University Mental Health Day, which is this week. And we've teamed up, you Jess and Jamie, this year, to tell students to switch off to switch on, which is a big campaign we're jointly running. Would you be able to tell the students listening a bit more about the idea behind the campaign and what the goal of it
Sure. So switch off to
is?
switch on is, I think it's a really great way about thinking how we use social media and our screens. I think ourselves, as well as the students, have grown up with messaging around social media and screen usage. And I think many of us will be quite familiar with some kind of screen hygiene messaging already about, say, limiting it before bedtime and things like this. And I think what we wanted to do with this campaign is to take it a step further. We live in a world of social media, and taking a step back from that might work for some of us, but many of us may find that really, really difficult. And we may find that we're reaching for our phones or our screens for a variety of reasons. And what we want to encourage with this campaign is to ask people to pause when you see yourself reaching for, your phone to have a scroll or to the remote. Why am I doing this? Just having a moment to check in and think about, how am I feeling emotionally, physically, what's going on for me right now? What will I get from watching some TV or going on TikTok or Instagram? Is that going to fulfill the need that's maybe the reason that I'm reaching out here? Or by kind of switching off, will I switch on in a different way? If I am, feeling really maybe anxious or stressed, would doing some deep breathing or engaging in some mindfulness, yoga, getting outside, would that serve me a little bit better? If I'm craving connection or being around other people, social media can be great for a sense of community, but would it be even better if I reached out to a friend, I met up with someone, or I went into like a communal area on campus where, I can generally be around other people? Maybe that feeling of connection and community would be better served in that way. And I think, we can talk about checking in with ourselves and reflecting. And for some of us, we might not feel that that's something that we naturally do or feel so easy to do. And I think it doesn't need to be a big piece of self-reflection unless you want it to, if you want to kind of journal and things like that, that's really great for self-reflection. But it can literally just be that moment where you notice yourself reaching for your remote or your phone and think, what's going on for me right now? How am I doing? Am I tense? Am I stressed? Am I craving connection? And how will I feel after I use this screen? Am I going to feel better? If so, great. Maybe that, the perfect solution here. But would something else be better for me? And how might I feel after that? If I do some exercise, go out and meet a friend, get some fresh air, do some mindfulness or something like that, do something I really enjoy that maybe I never have time for. I'm l probably likely to feel maybe calmer, less stressed, more maybe empowered. Because I'm looking after myself, we might have more empathy for ourselves and others. We might sleep better. So it's really about that switch on. What will I get from doing something else instead of just reaching for my screen? So it's not come off social media or never be on your screens, because this is life. This is how many of us live. But is there another option here that might just be better for me today?
I definitely think it's an important initiative, especially for students, because it's often like easy to get overwhelmed with university work, going out with friends, the pressures that surround it. But I think in a lot of spaces, a lot of people don't have a good understanding of what mental health actually is. So could you just give a quick explanation and say why you think it's important?
Sure. I've always found the easiest way to think about, my mental health and the health of others is how we interact with the world. So it's how we think, how we feel, and how we behave. And many of us will recognize that when we have certain thoughts and feelings, our behavior follows along. I always think of it a bit like a domino effect. If I've had quite a nice day, then I'm going to be more patient with other people. Or if, one of those days where everything goes wrong, you drop something, you stub your toe, there's no milk, and you just like by the end, you're just fed up. I am more impatient and I get angry quicker. I'm more likely to snap at someone. So really thinking about that domino effect of what my thoughts and feelings are like, my behavior often follows too. So I'm always thinking about my mental health, about how I react to my environment and what's going on inside myself. And I think that's really important because, as I've just mentioned, if our thoughts and behaviors often follow our feelings, if we're really looking after ourselves and doing that check-in, we talked about kind of checking in, why am I reaching for social media? Because we know many of us can fall into that black hole of screen time in some way or other. And like you say, life is so stressful at times and so busy, particularly for students, that, for myself, sometimes all I want to do is relax and I feel like grabbing my phone or a screen. It's like the easiest, quickest way to relaxation, but it's not always the best way for our mental health. We might definitely find, calmer and peace and boosting our mental health in other ways. And it's really about trying different things at the end of the day, seeing where your thought processes are, seeing what your emotions are, thinking about how you've behaved recently, and then think, what's that telling me? I know. And, I'll own it that sometimes I'll have a day where I think, I really wish I did that conversation different. Or, I have little kids and I think, if I was just a bit more relaxed today, this tantrum would have gone a little bit differently. I would have had more empathy or more patience with you today. But I think it's about noticing that. And instead of berating ourselves, thinking, that probably means my needs are going unmet. If you have a fight with a student, like a fellow student, maybe someone you're sharing housing with or something like that, and just reflect and think, have I had enough sleep? Or am I feeling quite lonely even though I'm always around people? Or have I actually had any time for myself to do something I enjoy? Like you said, it's so hard when you're balancing kind of the social life of campus and then kind of the educational academic side. I remember those days and feeling like I never had a moment, but actually I think the more we feel like we haven't got what we need, that's when we start to notice our mental health starting to decline. And then it's what can I do to kind of tweak this for myself?
That's great, thank you very much. And on that like similar topic, what do you think is like the biggest challenge like facing the mental health of the Jewish community at the moment, specifically focusing on Jewish students?
I think it probably goes back to the time element, and I think that's probably something that we all face is finding the time, and that might be because we all have very busy social calendars, and we have to achieve things, whether it's with students, going to be academically, for the rest of us in jobs, employment, things like that. And I think that can be the time element, but it can also be that when we do exist in a community and the student community is so amazing, but also so reliant on, the JSOC doing things and, other students making events, doing things. And it's almost all voluntary. So we can also, get into the situation where a lot of our time is taken up by everything that we give, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's how community thrives, is the people that give. But I always ask ourselves, are we giving to ourselves just as much? Are we draining all of our resources through, our academic life, our social life, our communal life? But what about kind of that personal life just with myself? What am I giving to me? And I once heard someone say that, I really liked it, that self-care isn't me first, because I think self-care can get packaged into this, very selfish thing to do, like take time for yourself, give yourself a little time or pamper or, whatever it is. It's become very commercialized. But I think of it as self-care isn't me first, but it's me too. We should be giving just as much to ourselves as we are giving to other people. And of course, when you have a busy social life or communal life or academic life, of course you're giving to yourself because you need to achieve things academically. Socializing is great for our mental health, being part of a community and volunteering our time and our energy and our empathy is all great for our mental health. But what else is missing in that part of the picture? And it's normally the relationship with yourself and what you need as an individual, aside of all of those things, which are lovely and good for your mental health, but also can be quite stressful too. And I feel like self-care often becomes like this extra thing to do on your to-do list, like your already busy life, and now self-care is like this other thing that like we're all telling you to do, and it's more stressful. You're making me stress talking about self-care. I don't know how to do it or find the time. And I think what we really need to do is reframe the way that we think about self-care, so it's not that padded thing on the end of our to-do list. And it's not a one-off or an occasional, but almost make it sacred, make it inviolable. It's a part of how we should all live our lives because it protects our health. And when I talk to kids, I always say to them, when it comes to winter time, we will start thinking about, putting on our coats and maybe taking vitamins and turning off the heat it on the heating because we don't want to get unwell because we know it's cold and flu and cough season and we want to safeguard our physical health. And many of us say exercise and hopefully drink enough water and eat healthily, again, to safeguard our physical health. So how are we safeguarding our mental health, and how do I make that a part of how I live my life rather than something that I remember to do here or there, or kind of panic that I've not done enough of? Because that's when we really start reaping the benefits, is to make it something completely, vital. It's not a luxury. Many of us can't afford, literally, for our own mental health to not be engaging in self-care. So I do think it's making it intentional, making the time for it with the realization, a bit like with switch off to switch on, that when you actually do make the time for self-care, how much more productive you might be because you're feeling better, your emotions, your thought processes, you don't have brain fog, you're more efficient. You won't get kind of caught up with loads of procrastination, possibly, because you are getting what you need emotionally and physically. So I think it's about, as students, but also all of us, thinking about how do I fit that into my student life. And there are great opportunities on campus, possibly in ways that we don't have in the wider world, to do that. When I speak to students, I always encourage them to think of all the opportunities that there are on campus, like all the different societies that you can take part in, which is A, great socially, but like B, you might learn a new skill that's also good for your mental health, and you might just have a really great time, whether that's like mixology or like rock climbing. Or I remember there was like baking society that I always meant to go to on campus and never quite did. But there's so much opportunity on campus that's kind of already there. You don't need to go and find like-minded people or find a baking class or a rock climbing place. It's all there. So I'd really encourage students to kind of take advantage of that.
I think you've identified some really important aspects of like university life and Jewish life that impact our mental health as students. I've definitely noticed it a lot, like working on JSOC committee and having people come to us or seeing other committee members like burn themselves out. So how would you suggest we can encourage a culture of like mental wellness and self-care within the community?
I think it is about a communal response in that, spreading education, raising awareness. But I think it's also a personal one in which we need to encourage people to think about maybe how they feel before self-care and how they feel after, and really actually notice the difference in ourselves, possibly in others. But I know you asked mostly about like a community. I am a big fan of accountability buddies in that, if I want to go to a yoga class at the gym, I am, they say those who can't do teach. It's why I teach mental health, because talking about time and finding the time, I'm really not very good at doing it, but I know how important it is for myself and for those around me who benefit from me kind of being a nicer, calmer, more patient human, because I've looked after my mental health and done my self-care. But, if I'm going to that class, it's very easy at the end of the day to be too tired or I've got too much on my list. But if I know someone else is going, one of my friends is going because we've agreed to go together, I'm far more likely to go. And if someone's saying to me, like, oh, you've said let's do this every week, not just that I'm necessarily going with them, but they might have chosen something for their self-care and I might have chosen something different, but we're checking in. Did you do it? And studies do bear this out. Don't know, ask me which ones, but I heard that on a podcast where they did quote the studies around, accountability really does help people stick to habits. And it is about making self-care a habit, something that becomes so embedded into your routine that you just do it like that. You just don't even think about it. It's just something you do. And so, finding someone else who wants to engage in self-care, and whether you do the same thing and you do it together or you do something completely different, but checking in once a week, did you do X, Y, or Z? How did you feel after? Have you noticed any kind of longer term impacts across the weeks as we do it more and more? So I would really say, yes, talk about it and encourage others to do it, but also maybe take that a step further, team up, do self-care together, or be accountable to each other. It's one of the best ways to make something stick. And that's what we're really aiming for here, is to create a culture of self-care, is to make it an absolute vital part of your routine. And it's the easiest thing to do if you're really used to doing it and you don't even have to think about it or carve out that time anymore.
Completely agree, and obviously we're both Jewish organizations, so it would be silly of me not to talk about kind of the Jewish element of it. So I was just wondering how you think like Jewish traditions and teachings can be utilized to promote mindfulness and emotional well-being amongst specifically university students.
Big question, but I do think all that kind of UGS and chaplaincy do around events and creating that sense of community and somewhere to really be on campus if that's the right fit for you. I remember we always used to have Friday night dinners, and lots of my non-Jewish university friends wanted to come. And one time, one of them said to me, "It must be really nice from the moment like you came to campus, you had somewhere to be." And I think we talk about a lot about like identity and finding your tribe, and being a student is so much around kind of finding your identity. It's part of your late teen years, your adolescence, which is all about your identity and who you are and who you will be. But then you go to university and you have this newfound independence too. So this community that our Jewish organizations create on campus is phenomenal for our emotional well-being, and the events that they put on and often do. And we get invited to talk at campus, and I often ask them, what they're doing as well. And they're doing yoga and they're bringing in mindfulness and they're doing, something really creative one night. And all of those things are such good opportunities as well. On the side of Jewish teaching, big question, but I do think, we can, it's as simple as we have Shabbat and people celebrate Shabbat in a variety of different ways. But, switch off to switch on, Can we take a step back around away from our tech? Not necessarily for the whole Shabbat, if that's not how we mark or celebrate it. But it's almost an inbuilt time to pause and reflect on the end of the week and spend time with people, however you are celebrating it. It always kind of, almost mind boggles me working in a mental health organization that, like, I identify with a religion which literally gives you a day of rest. With that acknowledgement that we all need to press pause, and how we press pause and how we do self-care and how we are mindful and look after ourselves is so individualized. And it's giving you that. I've just said, find a time in your week, make it vital, make it a routine. Identifying as Jewish students, whether it's religiously or culturally, and however we do celebrate, it gives us that. So I'd encourage people to kind of use that as an opportunity to check in with yourself at the end of the week, check in with others, be together, if that's, what will serve your mental health. And it is maybe time to be a little bit more mindful and away from kind of the hustle and bustle of ordinary life, if that suits us.
I definitely agree. I think Shabbat is such a useful tool to work on mental wellness. I've found it's such a great way to switch off without even thinking about it. One thing is that I think when you're having conversations about mental health, there's a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of stigma, especially in our community. And I was wondering, like, what steps do you think we can take as a community as a whole to reduce that stigma and encourage open dialogue?
I think it's really important. And coming from the education team, you won't be surprised that my answer will be education. I think that is the surest way by raising awareness, by educating others to take out the stigma. We all have mental health. It's one of the most important things that we all need to accept as a society. And having worked at Jamie for almost 10 years, it makes me very happy to see that in the Jewish community, but also in wider society, that's kind of like a message we're mostly getting on board with. With now acknowledging that we do all have mental health and we deserve to look after our mental health. And sometimes it's about giving ourselves permission to do that, to take that time. I think we're not quite there with the looking after ourselves bit, but we accept that we all have mental health. And I think it's almost keep banging that drum, keep having these conversations, keep engaging in it. And I think part of that conversation isn't just, educating that we have mental health and it's how we feel, think, and behave in the world. It's all about our reactions to our environment. But I think it's about also taking it a step further and thinking about, if we all have mental health and if we want to build kind of resilient and kind of mutually supportive communities, then how do we look after each other's mental health too? How do we react to each other? And so it's also about including conversations around listening and empathy and actually how do you have an open dialogue? And alongside open dialogue, of course, comes boundaries. We wouldn't advocate speaking to absolutely everyone about your mental health at all times. It wouldn't be appropriate. But about, how do you identify the people that you can rely on and who can support you? But that it is okay to not be okay, right? So, like when someone says, "How are you?" Sometimes it might be appropriate to say fine, or you might truly be fine, but other times it might be okay to say, actually, I'm not feeling great, or I'm not having a great mental health day, or whatever language would suit you at that time. And actually just making it okay to be honest about our feelings. It's not always about the big grand conversations about mental health or having loads of education, although you should do that too. But it's also about that just being honest with each other about how we're feeling as appropriate, and being aware of how we respond to that as well in kind of an emotionally open and empathetic and inclusive way.
That's great. Really great advice, and thank you for all that insight that you've given. We like to end all our podcasts with all our guests who have a few quick fire questions. So we'll just throw out a few questions and then give about a couple word answers, basically, is the idea around it. So to start off with, this is a classic, what's your favorite Jewish food?
Oh, good question. This brings to mind Rogalach is without a doubt
That's a classic.
always good. I'm always very happy with a Rogalach, definitely.
Definitely. How about your favorite Jewish festival?
Hanukkah. Little bit biased, I was born on Hanukkah, but it's presents and donuts. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah. Okay, this is a bit more of a specific one, but can you offer like a quick take-home message to Jewish students on campus today, on like the best way that they can look after their mental health, if you could like sum it up.
Yeah, I would say just, take the time to check in with yourself. Doesn't have to be like a long, like 10, 20 minute activity. It can literally be, at the end of the day, how am I feeling? What's going on for me? Do it when you're boiling the kettle in the first thing in the morning for a cup of tea. Do it at the end of the day when you're brushing your teeth. Habit forming is always great if you tie it to something that you already do. And then what's next for me? So is it, going back to switch off to switch on, is it reaching for my phone, social media? Would that be the best thing for me right now? Or is some other kind of self-care going to be better for me? And if you're finding it hard to commit to self-care, think about how you make it part of your routine, whether it is kind of, as I said, tying it to something that you already do, or if it's being accountable to someone else. If we give ourselves time to kind of think and plan, then hopefully we can build better habits around self-care and looking after ourselves.
Amazing. Thank you. And could you tell us like who Jewish students can get in touch with if they're struggling with their mental health?
Yeah, so in terms of kind of direct support, I mean, on campus, you hopefully everyone's aware of kind of their tutor or their welfare tutor, who's available to them. And some campuses do have individualized mental health support. Nightline is also available, so that's the student-led support helpline. I would also say, UJS and chaplaincy, volunteering your services. But of course, also Jamie is there for Jewish students. You can call us and refer us yourself to our services. So please 0208-458-2223. That's impressive. I still know the number. I've been on mat leave for 6 months, so I haven't had to say it in a while. But outside of kind of directly student or Jewish life, I would say think about places like Shout, which is a 24/7 tech support service, which is great as well. So really just I would say to students, even if you don't need anything now, and hopefully you might not ever need anything, it is always worth just knowing one or two places to get support so that if you do ever need, or a friend or someone else is in need, then you can signpost them effectively.
Perfect, thank you. And just to add that the UJS welfare hotline that we opened following October 7th is still open, and you're more than welcome to call that as well, in addition to all the amazing resources that Emma mentioned. And so feel free to call that if you need to. You can find the number on any of our social medias pinned to the top, or by asking your SAB. But just a big thank you to firstly you, Emma, for joining us today, and also Macy for joining us today on the podcast. It's been really great to, ahead of University Mental Health Day, to talk about the steps we can all take to take care of our mental health, and really practice self-care. Thank you everyone at home for listening. If you want to keep up to date with all our podcasts and everything else UJS are doing, you can find us on social media on all pages at UJS underscore UK. But other than that, just a big thank you to you both, and happy University Mental Health Day.
Yeah,
Thank
happy
you.
University Mental Health Day, and just remember, switch off to switch on.